But at least you go to church. Esther chapter 6. On that night, verse 1, Esther, on that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana. You know what a Bigthana is? I don't either. And Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servant that ministereth unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. I'm going to stop because I'm not interested in the story. I am, as much as I'm interested in learning to recognize God's ways and how he deals with you. How many have ever had a night you couldn't sleep? Did it ever dawn on you? Maybe God wants to talk to you. I'm not saying that is always the case, but you must not rule it out. About three or four months ago, your pastor is human like you. I was concerned because I wasn't having the word of knowledge operate in me like I have known it to operate at times. I don't control that. There may be different views on that, but I'm the one, this sounds arrogant, with experience. But I've learned that God, although I can press and I can do things not to grieve his spirit, and Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is in me, I can do all the things that I know I'm to do and wait before him. But sometimes I go and I'm not getting anything. I'm not going to make it up. I know that when we pastored in White Salmon, the gift was flowing quite a bit. And I knew that there were the reason much of the crowd was there. We were full and overflowing. They wanted to see that gift. And many preachers, now it boils down to character versus the gift. I was determined not to make something up and just to please the crowd. And so when it didn't happen, then some left. And I wanted to go out and pull their nose off. Say, listen, you need to come to church, not for loaves and fishes. You need to come because we're commanded to be faithful. But I didn't. Because as Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you just ain't mature enough to handle it. I don't know if he meant that or not, but it's a good interpretation to apply right now. So the last few months I have been seeking the Lord and saying, God, I hope I haven't grieved the Spirit or anything like that. And my motive, Lord, I pray is right. It's for your advancement and your glory. As I began to bear down and pray about the matter and to seek and to inquire, I am not going to say that God has spoken to me, but I believe through much scripture And I believe that he has spoken to me, but not in the way that when I get a word of knowledge, but just walking this thing through, and I'll explain to you what I'm talking about. And why I have come to the conclusion that God has been speaking to me, but just not in that channel, and not by that word of knowledge as found in Corinthians, where he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't mean he hasn't been talking to me. How many know God has many ways to talk to you? And that just because he isn't talking to you one way doesn't mean he has shut the other ways that he could communicate to you in those other ways. There's been a story that's told, and we immediately, I've heard that story, but it is a powerful, truthful story, and it bears repeating, so bear with me, of the fellow who was on the roof, and there was a flood. And he crawled up on the roof, and as the waters were rising, he was a believer, and he asked God to, Lord, save me, help me. I'm trusting you. I believe you. And sure enough, the waters, as Johnny Cash said, how high is the water, Mama? 6 feet and rising. And sure enough, a rowboat came by, and they said, come on down, we're here. He said, no, he said, I'm trusting the Lord. And the waters kept rising. And then pretty soon a helicopter flew over and dropped down a ladder and said, hop on board, we're here to save you. And he said, no, I'm trusting the Lord. How many know we don't tell God how to do his work and how it's to be done? And so it didn't happen, and he dies. And he gets to heaven, and he says, Lord, I called on you. Why did you not answer me? And the Lord said, I was trying to, but you weren't listening. I sent by a boat, I sent by a helicopter, and etc. We may snicker at that, but there is so much truth in that story. And may I allow it to speak to us today, because God has a lot of ways to communicate. Now, I'm going to say a shocking statement, and I'm not doing it to provoke, but to show a point, because I pray this will help you as well in your own Christian walk. Because you know what I do know about people that come to church? They want to hear from God. People love to hear from God. They have an appetite to hear from God. And I'm well aware that people want to hear from the Lord, whether it be the minister that has a fresh word and a coal off of the altar, and it ministers to them, or however that be. People do want to hear from God, and I'm aware of that. But when we begin to dictate on how God is going to speak to us, that's where, if we're not careful, we may be missing ways that he's speaking to us, because we have determined that it must be this certain way, or we're used to a certain way. And when the Bible talks about God said that Paul was teaching, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I grew up, etc., etc. And God is he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of his appearing. And we read enough in Scripture where God is wanting you to grow in grace and in knowledge. And he's wanting you to mature. And he's wanting you to know the ways of the Lord and begin to be well equipped in many of the ways that God, it says that in Psalms, they knew not his ways. They may have known one or two, but God has many ways. Now, when I say that, I don't mean many ways to heaven. There's only one name given under heaven whereby man may be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. That is very fundamental in the Scriptures. However, having said that, there's many ways that the Lord communicates to his people. And if we are not careful, we get used to it being a certain way, and God may be trying to teach us and mature us and to begin to challenge us that there's other ways. I'm talking to you, and I want you to grow in those ways, and learn in those ways as well. I kind of, the statement I said that may be shocking, and I don't mean for it to be, I am very well aware he speaks to us out of this book. And the Bible, he told Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said what the word is for. It's for doctrine, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, for reproof, that the man of God, and those are what it's for. And so Paul, at the same time, told Timothy to stir up the gift that is in him by the laying on of hands. Well, like Samson, sometimes you can stir. And one time Samson went to stir, and he wist not that the spirit had departed from him. I am not using that as illustration. That I'm just saying sometimes you can stir yourself, and no, God isn't going to talk that way. He's going to decide how he talks, and he may be wanting to strengthen you in another area. I said that because I believe in this book. I believe every word in it. I believe it's inspired of God, and it is the final authority. So that's not on trial. But there have been times over the years in the ministry, I know I've got to preach. I know I have to teach. Okay, Lord, I want something that I feel is from you for the people. I'm not one of these that just, well, I'm just going to do this and go through it, and I'm not opposed to that if that's their gifting. I can do that. I've just not been comfortable with that. I try to pray and hear from the Lord. And so I'll go and pray and read, and man, I'm not getting anything. Nothing is coming alive. Nothing is going to quicken in me, and the time's running down, and I got to preach or teach. My wife, in her earlier years, she'd say, you got anything yet? No, she said. She'd start getting worried. Oh, God, give it to him. And anymore, she just says, oh, you go ahead. It'll work out. But I have learned, Paul said, I've learned to be content. I've learned a few things in the ministry. And that is, I can study and study, and I'm not getting a thing. And I finally, not because I want to, I give up. I close the book. This happened day before yesterday. I've got a funeral I've got to preach. And I want to have a word from the Lord. I don't want to just give an ABC little thing, you know, ashes, ashes, dust to dust, and all that kind of stuff. I want to have something for the people that are going to be there that I'll never have another shot at. And so I'm reading the book, and nothing is, and I know I got to preach a funeral. And this has happened on thousands of occasions. I shut the book because it's not working. I'm not saying that the book don't work. It's just not, how many know what I'm talking about? And I hang it up, and the phone rings, and a friend calls and says, man, have I got a story to tell you? And he tells me the story, and I said, man, that's perfect. That's just what I needed for the funeral. Are you following what I'm saying? God was going to communicate. It doesn't disagree with the book. The Bible said in St. John 14, Jesus said in those two chapters, the Spirit is truth and the Word. Or he said that he is truth and the Spirit is truth. They don't contradict, they complement. But sometimes I've had that happen for years. I'm reading, okay, Lord, I just shut the book, and the Lord will have something happen, and that thing begins to come alive, and out of it, I can go to the book to add to what happened, but I get my message and I get what I feel is needed for the people. And that happened often to the prophets. Now, does that mean I don't believe in the book? Because here's where I challenge that thinking that is out there, and I don't need to because I'm scratching you where you're not itching. There are those that subscribe that if God's going to speak, he's going to do it through the Word. That's not true. He may speak in ways outside of the Word. They're not contradicting the Word, but he has other ways to talk to us. And it may be, I mean, in the book of Acts, there's one chapter where you find eight different ways that God speaks. One is through angels, is dreams and visions, and it's through preaching, it's through the Holy Spirit said, it was an angel, and there's eight of them. And none of them disagree with each other. But as we as Christians, may we begin to learn that God is going to talk to us. And here's one you all are going to identify with. He will talk to you by many ways, but one of them is circumstances. And I think this is one you can identify with. Circumstances is often a way that God speaks. I came across this a few weeks ago when I was preaching on the 5 points of Calvinism and coming against one of them on the tulip, the total depravity of man, and where we went with the story in Romans 9 about Rebecca. And remember, Rebecca is pregnant? And as Rebecca is pregnant, there's those babies begin to act up. She didn't want to be a battleground. And so she said, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. And I illustrated, could you imagine if you could have been real close to her and been of that mindset and go back and say, now, Rebecca, you're just reading into this too much. That is just normal. Your pregnancy is normal. And Rebecca felt, no, I... And yet Rebecca went to the Lord. Now, does that mean every pregnancy that goes like that, that God's trying to tell you something? No, not necessarily. But thank God that she went. And the circumstances that, yes, God was using that as means to communicate to her, to let her know that, yes, in you are two nations, two peoples, Esau and Jacob, etc. And the Bible passage we read this morning is another way of where God speaks to us by circumstances. This king, Ahasuerus, I think that was his name, he couldn't sleep. And he has this thought, and that's why I say God is talking to us far more than we're aware of. But if our mindset is only that it's this, then we can ignore many of these things. And I'm just saying, hang on. And he asked for the books to be brought him. That didn't mean the Bible, but it was a record of what had happened in his kingdom. And he found out that there was a fellow that had done a great service to him that kept him from being assassinated. And he says, well, who is this guy? Has he ever been rewarded? The point being that God caused, I believe, the sleeplessness on this king. And it was a means where God was beginning to orchestrate and to speak something wonderful. Another one you could find would be when Moses, who was given the law, but before he was given the law, how did God talk to him? One day he's in the wilderness, he sees a bush, and the bush is not being consumed. It's not normal. And the Bible says, he said, I will turn aside and see why the bush is not consumed. And the Bible says, and this is where I'm getting it from, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, that he had, I believe he had a hunger to hear from God. I believe he had a desire to hear from God. And when God saw that he turned aside to see why the bush was not consumed, then God spoke out of the bush. And I'm asking, do you have a hunger enough that you're turning aside? I'm not saying every time you turn aside, you're going to hear, but I want to know if you have a hunger to turn aside. I don't want you gullible, but neither do I want you skeptical. But I want you to have a hunger, and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so there's another one. And let me tell you something that was brought to my attention, I think just illustrates this in a great way. I don't know who sent it to me. How many have ever heard the expression, once you ride a bike, you never forget? And you can always ride that bike. Well, this fella, he's about 30 years of age. He was athletic, and he was pretty good. And a welding shop got a hold of him and said, we have taken a bike, and we have welded onto it two gears. Now, in any bike, there's your fork, and that fork is directly connected to that front wheel, and the handlebars on top. If you turn it this way, the wheel goes with it. If you turn it that way, the wheel goes that way. But this welding shop, where they got the idea, I don't know, but they put two little gears. So what happened is when you turn the handlebar to the left, which normally the wheel would go with it, now the wheel went right. And when you turn the handlebars to the right, the wheel would go left. And they said to this fella, "We bet you can't ride this bike." And he said, "Oh, I can ride it. I know I can ride it." And let not himself boast. Let not him that taketh off the harness boast as he that putteth it on. But anyway, he said, "I can ride it." And he said, "I tried to ride that bike. I couldn't ride it." He said, "I couldn't go 2 feet. I fell and I thought, I am going to get my mind wrapped around this thing. I know that it's designed to where it's the way it used to be, but I'm going to be able to do it." And he would go and he'd fall. He fell and fell and fell and fell and bruised himself. But he was determined, "I'm going to ride this bike. It's driving me nuts." It took him 8 months. After 8 months, now you think, but it's a video and you see that. In fact, he went around and he took this bike and he would go around to colleges and universities and where there's crowds and he's teaching, and he would challenge anybody in the audience. He had the bike there and he says, "I'll give anybody $100 if they can ride this bike 10 feet. And there's the bike. They had measured off 10 feet and there's the finish line. And so people out of the audience, "Oh, I can do it." And they'd get up and they got on that bike. They couldn't go 2 feet and they were falling. Of course, the crowd's laughing, et cetera, et cetera. And nobody could do it. Although he had finally conquered it, but it took him 8 months of getting his mind to unlearn the way it used to be and to learn this way. And then, after he learned it, he decided, "I'm going to see if I could go back to the first bike and ride the first bike." Because he hadn't ridden that bike in those 8 months, else it interfered. He couldn't ride the first bike. He got on that bike, he'd fall down. He said, that old theory that says once you learn to ride a bike, you'll never forget, he said, that's hogwash. Now, he eventually did learn to ride the first bike, but it took him, again, reprogramming the mind and all the other hardwiring that goes with it. Now, here's what's amazing. His son was 8 years old who knew how to ride a bike. But he said to his son, "Son, I'm going to see if you can ride this bike." Now, how many know the young mind is more apt to grasp things? But he let his boy, and his boy fell down. But it only took his boy 2 weeks to learn to ride it, where it took him 8 months to ride it. And there is such a powerful truth in this story, in this illustration of real life. And so often, if we are as Christians used to living our Christian life, and all of you have in your own walk with God, your own experiences, you're used to God speaking to you a certain way. I'm not saying that way is wrong, not a bit. What I am saying, maybe the Lord is wanting to teach you other ways that He can talk to you. And I'm not saying it'll be overnight, but I believe that God is talking to us far more than we're aware of. And when Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Well, we do if it comes on channel 3. We do if it's through this. But sometimes He may be speaking to you in another way, and one of those ways is circumstances. Now, I preached here about 6 months ago when Brother Skip was here at a funeral. Does God have your attention? And many of the times when God was getting ready to speak to someone, before He would speak to them, He would get their attention. And that's what it means in Revelation when it talks about a trumpet. A trumpet is an instrument that when it is blown, those that hear it that are in the army, a certain sound tells them it's time to suit up, we're going to war. And a trumpet is often something that is simply to get your attention. In the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus, before He spoke to the church, He first knocked. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So, what do you do when in your life, okay, God, I don't know what you're saying, but you've got my attention. You've got my attention. That's the first step. Does he have your attention? May I share with you what I believe you need to do once he has your attention? Once he gets your attention, then go pray. Well, what's he going to say? I have no idea. But I will ask you this. What have you been thinking about? What have you been thinking about? Because now that he has your attention, now you go to pray. And oh, I begin to pray. And I just wait before the Lord. And now I begin to pray about that problem. And now as I begin to think, he may not come to me and give me, yay, go down two blocks, turn right, and eat a banana, and then go 6 days, and then do. He may not say that. But he's got your attention. And now that he's got your attention, you are beginning to pray about it, and the Holy Spirit can now begin to talk to you and give you wisdom and give you understanding. Many people think God isn't talking to them because he gets your attention, and then when he gets your attention, you go to prayer. Listen, that is often the Lord. And I've learned that when I do, I don't demand that now he speak to me and give me this, this, and this. That's his call. But I have found often when I go to prayer and I begin to pray on it and I begin to allow the Holy Spirit, my attitude begins to change a little bit. The way I look at it begins to change a little bit, because you know what happens when he gets your attention? Faith begins to rise up, a sense and awareness of God. And how many know that faith is much better when it's in your prayer when there's no faith? And so now when there's faith brought to the picture, and now with faith, and now I begin to pray about it, I'm probably, and God is directing me, and maybe I'm praying in tongues, and I don't know what I'm saying, but the Spirit, it knows the mind and the secret things, and it's addressing that thing. But often after I pray about it, I feel better about it. Well, do you have an answer? Well, no, but I feel better. I have a peace. And that's what the Bible said. Let the peace of God rule your hearts and minds. Where we get the word rule is umpire. And an umpire is for the purpose of calling close plays. And some of these umpires, I tell you, they need to get cornea transplants. But sometimes that's why they have instant replay. I forgot where I was going with that one. I should have left them umpires alone. An umpire calls the close plays. When you begin to pray about something, and if you will pray about it, and the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, then when you get a peace, how many know what that peace can come? Do you know God has just communicated to you? Well, I want him to tell me to go four blocks, turn right, eat banana, and then see six cars and this. He may not do that. He may be giving you the peace. And that peace is what you need. He may do the other, but he may not. But the point is, you're wanting God to communicate to you. And so that is why it is so important you pray. You pray. When he gets your attention, pray. If he's been doing things that seem, you know, pray. Pray. You never pray enough. And when you pray, you watch how things can change. And my message is, allow the Lord to talk to you in ways that you're not demanding how, but I'm your servant. And whether he wants to do it with a still, small voice, whether he wants to do it with a loud, mighty, rushing wind, you know, because here's what happens. Even prophets in the Old Testament fell into this of not hearing from God when God was talking to them. Let's take Balaam. Balaam is one of the Old Testament prophets that he had one of the greatest prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament of what the Savior would do. So Balaam, he hears from God. And yet one day, a king that was not of Israel knew the gifting of Balaam and came to Balaam and offered him money if he would prophesy and curse Israel. Somehow they felt they had the power to do it. So he's offered to go curse Israel, and God came to the prophet. Now, catch this. Oh, I sound like a TV preacher. Here it comes. The Holy Spirit comes to Balaam, and the Holy Spirit, God said to Balaam, you don't go. You're not to go. Now, here's Balaam. He knows how to hear from God. He hears from God. And yet, the next day, when Balaam said, nope, can't go, even if you offered me money, I couldn't go. Hint, hint. And so Balak, he upped the ante. Oh, that's what it takes to get you to do what you do. So he offered him more money. And he said, no, I can't do it unless God tells me to, because he knows God's voice. And so he takes off. And God was angry that he took off. Now God's going to talk to him. But notice, he doesn't talk to him the way he had talked to him earlier. He doesn't now talk to him by the Holy Ghost the way he did that said, don't go. This time, how is God talking to him? By circumstances. Remember, he's riding that donkey. He's on his way there. And the donkey sees an angel. And God was upset with Balaam. And there's an angel with a sword drawn, and the donkey stops. Now, here's the prophet that knows how to hear from God. But if we're not careful, we are so used to God talking to us a certain way, we need to humble ourselves and be open that he can talk any way he wants to talk. And so Balaam, he kicks that donkey, and you know the story, where finally the donkey smashes him up against a wall. How many know God's talking? But Balaam is not listening. Because you're going to have to talk to me this? No. I'll talk to you any way I want to talk to you. What I want you to do is be humble and be open where I'm listening. And finally, God opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey says to Balaam, what have I ever done to you to have you treat me this way? He is so blind and so driven to what he wants to do, and your desires can so override that you're not hearing from God. That he talks back to the donkey. Not one time thinking that maybe God's talking to me. And finally, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw if he had kept pushing, he'd have died. He said that was Balaam. Look at Jonah. Jonah is a prophet. Had the greatest revival in the Old Testament. And Jonah, he no doubt hears from God. But now Jonah, he don't want to obey God, go to Nineveh, and he's in the bottom of the belly of the boat. And we know the story, how now God is going to talk another way. He didn't come to Jonah in the bottom of the boat and say, Jonah, I'm telling you again. This time he's speaking by circumstances again. I want you to be sensitive as people. I don't want you gullible, but neither do I want you skeptical. But I want you hungry to where you are God conscious in all of your ways. How many know this is good preaching? This is good preaching, Pastor. He's talking. And may we as Pentecostal people, may we have a sensitivity to, and I appreciate, Sherry, your remarks this morning. But do you know God can talk to us in different ways? And just because he's not doing it this way doesn't mean he's not talking. When he gets your attention, pray. Pray. What's he going to say? I don't know. But at least when you pray, and you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, you would be surprised of how you'll begin to see it differently, begin to feel about it differently, and begin to get the mind of the Lord. Debbie, would you come? Has God been talking to you? There's no doubt in my mind He's been talking to you. Oh, yes, He talks. But oh, more importantly than Him talking is me listening. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. You see, the Spirit, it'll move on you. Sometimes it gives detailed, sometimes it just gets you to open up. But you know that God is, he's here. I know God's in on this. I may not understand what He's saying. I may not know what's going on. I don't have to know. But what I need to do is pray. Pray. And pray some more. And pray some more. And Christ is formed in you. If you've had something going on in your life lately, and you don't understand what it is, would you stand? This is no trick question, because I'm going to call us to prayer. You see, you know who our answer is? It's Him. It's Him. And any wise pastor will tell the people to pray. 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 I've had God many, many ways talk to me. But I have to be careful that I humble myself. And as Samuel, speak, Lord, for Thy servant, I'm listening. And as I humble myself, I pray. I pray and I pray. And you'd be surprised how that has a way of sure affecting what it was. Could we all come and find a place to pray today? I hope He has your attention. And I hope we'll remember what Jesus said. My house shall be called a house of prayer. I believe that He's going to strengthen you. You may have to learn how to ride a different bike. But oh God, may we humble ourselves before You. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek the Lord over the needs that we have. Just pray. Pour your heart out to God. Rebecca said, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. Moses turned aside to see. Blessed Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Just begin to lift your voice and to pray and let your heart and your spirit get into it. And let God be God. And let Him just begin to form Christ in you and His Spirit come in you. And He will lead you and guide you. The steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. Blessed Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.